Fire and Fury, Michael Wolff's controversial book about the Trump presidency, went on sale this morning. Wolff's publisher moved up the release date after President Trump's lawyers launched legal efforts to stop the book's publication, which had been slated for next week. Trump's press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, insisted this morning that author Michael Wolff never interviewed the president and that Wolff had begged to see Trump.
But on NBC's Today Show, Wolff pushed back.
I absolutely spoke to the president, whether he realized it was an interview or not. I don't know, but it certainly was not off the record. But even more to the point, I spoke to people who spoke to the president on a daily, sometimes minute-by-minute basis.
And the resulting book is an unflattering picture of an erratic Trump surrounded by people who question his ability to do the job. There's also a blockbuster story in today's New York Times, which says that President Trump tried to lobby Attorney General Jeff Sessions to not recuse himself from the Russia investigation because of his undisclosed contacts with the Russian ambassador, and that Special Counsel Robert Mueller, who is investigating obstruction of justice in that case, knows about it. So let's gather, convene our Friday Politics Roundtable. This week, Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hi, Tolu.
Hey.
And Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead political editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hi there.
And Domenico, I want to start with you. You retweeted Walter Schaub, the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, who wrote that if the New York Times story is true, the White House lawyer that Trump asked to talk to Sessions and ask him not to recuse himself was asking Sessions to break the law. Tell us more.
Well, it's really fascinating. I mean, Walter Schaub has been somebody who, as the ethics chief in the United States, head of the Office of Government Ethics before he resigned, had been had taken to Twitter to tell the president to divest of his interests, of his business interests. He then apparently was talking to the White House and to the Justice Department saying that Sessions should recuse himself. There are must recuses and there are should recuses. In this case, they saw it as a ethically that he should recuse himself. He agreed, and that sent the president into a rage. He was infuriated by the fact that that Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. And according to the New York Times report from last night, he feels as if the attorney general should be somebody who protects the president in the way that he views it, as Robert F. Kennedy did for John F. Kennedy or Eric Holder for Barack Obama. The Eric Holder for Barack Obama thing, even though he'd said that he was President Obama's wingman, certainly that Justice Department held to far more protocol than this White House and Justice Department.
And Trump at the time was critical of Eric Holder. But tell us again, so why does Schaub think that this is breaking the law?
Well, he thinks that this is a problem when it comes to obstruction of justice. Mm-hmm. And that's what the centerpiece of the New York Times piece was yesterday, about the fact that I think what the overall picture from that Times piece presents is not just these details, but that the net there's a very loose net right now around President Trump as the target, as a target within this investigation. And usually what lawyers and investigators will tell you is you have three options. You can either you come in as a subject and you have the choice to be a witness or a target. And right now it looks like the president is in the target range for Mueller investigation.
Hmm. Tolu, let me get your take on that before we turn to more about Michael Wolff's book. But what do you make of the New York Times story?
Yeah, there were so many bombshells in that story, it's hard to even figure out where to start. But a couple of things that stuck out to me. One was where Attorney General Jeff Sessions, according to this report, was trying to solicit members of Congress to get dirt on the FBI director, Jim Comey, to have one negative news story per day coming out about the FBI director as President Trump was considering whether to fire him. That would just on its own be a huge bombshell if true, now that the Justice Department has pushed back on it. But, you know, this reporter has broken a lot of stories and has pretty good sourcing in the past. So it's hard to tell exactly where the truth lies. Another thing is that President Trump was so adamant about trying to get rid of FBI Director Jim Comey that one of his top lawyers had to mislead him and tell him that he did not have the authority to do that because they were so worried that when the president fired Jim Comey that it would lead to all of the various things that we've actually now seen, a special prosecutor and various investigations into the president. So this is clearly something that, you know, aside from the whole idea of Russian collusion, this is sort of a problem that the president kind of created on his own with the firing of Jim Comey and the way it was handled and the way he's related with Jeff Sessions and some of the things that the Justice Department has done to really go push beyond the norms that had been set up by previous administrations.
Well, of course, we should say the president tweeted this morning that the media is covering the book about him, Fire and Fury, so much because the Russia investigation is proving to be a total hoax. So trying to kind of circle around all the headlines today there with that tweet. But let's do move to the book because there's much about the Russia investigation in the book. And Michael Wolff on the Today Show today spoke. As we said, the book's publication was pushed up in response to the letter from the White House yesterday asking them not to publish it. And one of the things that Wolff said is that people closest to Trump said he's like a child demanding instant gratification. Let's listen.
They say he's a moron, an idiot. Let's remember, this man does not read, does not listen. So he's like a he's like a pinball, just shooting off the sides.
Domenico, this is actually hard to listen to. This is we're talking about the president of the United States.
Well, I mean, I don't know that anybody is completely surprised with Wolf's, you know, interpretation based on the way he talks to some of the sources within the White House. I'm not sure, you know, look, he's somebody who in the White House has dismissed as a tabloid like reporter, you know, and a lot of this has to do with the lens through which you view the president. You know, and there have certainly been a lot of these, some of these details have come out previously. Remember, when Rex Tillerson had to issue a non-denial denial that he had called the president a moron with an expletive in front of it, that H.R. McMaster didn't really think too highly of his intellect. I think a lot of what has happened with President Trump is that in the most positive way to look at him is that he has shook up Washington because he defies the norms that normally take place. He's defied the ways that Washington normally works. And that can certainly set off a lot of people who look at this and think, gosh, this is just not the way things should run. Now, that could mean that things are very problematic within the White House. It's certainly a huge political distraction when it comes to the Republican Party needing to get its stuff together and get legislation passed. You know, no one's talking about that tax plan anymore that was supposed to dominate the first part of this year. And no one's talking about what the next steps could be with infrastructure, which are supposed to be the big policy points. Instead, palace intrigue has been the thing that's dominated. And it's the kind of front and backstabbing that would make the Queen of England blush.
Well, Tolu, I just want to pick up on what I was meaning when we heard those words, moron, idiot, doesn't read, doesn't listen. I mean, supporters of President Obama know how they felt when they heard people on Fox News so personally disparaging their candidate. There are people in America right now hearing this and thinking that it's the same thing. And overall, it is such a coarsening. It's such a, I mean, it just seems like such an unfortunate chapter in history.
Yeah, and one of the things that makes this episode incredibly intriguing is the fact that a lot of these adjectives and descriptors are coming from people within the White House, and we know from looking at the White House that it has been a pretty chaotic place at times. You can look back at the travel ban. You can look back at Anthony Scaramucci's wild 11 days within the White House, and any observer looking from the outside would not be surprised by a lot of the things that are in Wolf's book, that this is this has been a chaotic White House where, you know, there's infighting and, you know, what's happened this week with Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist, now being thrown under the bus by the president. It's clear that the infighting and chaos within the White House is a true fact. Now, whether or not all of the details within Wolf's book are accurate, that's another story. But it's clear that there has been this level of chaos, and the White House wanted to move beyond that with the tax bill, trying to get momentum from that and roll it over into infrastructure. And this book coming out even a couple days early has really sort of blown up that entire narrative. And that's why you see the White House trying to really delegitimize the book. Trump's lawyers issuing cease and desist letters. It's clear that they realize how big of a problem this is for the president, especially a president who has a fragile ego like the one that we have.
Domenico, we've just got under a minute here, but, you know, at Camp David this afternoon, the president is going to sit down with Republican leaders in Congress about their agenda. We've got the midterms to look forward to. I mean, how do you think they're going to try and seize back the political narrative right now?
Well, certainly you've got Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, who have agendas that they want to get through. And the thing that we've been talking about before all of this kind of tabloid fodder exploded this week is the fact that there is a split between Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan on how to pursue that agenda. Ryan wants to go after welfare and entitlements. We know that the White House and President Trump want to also go after welfare, but in a different kind of way. Do they have the kind of votes to be able to get an agenda item as big as some of these things are through in an election year when things generally don't happen as much? We're going to see after this weekend.
Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead political editor. Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.